the Waters family sharing a beautiful song with us today, and for all the songs that have been sung. I'd like to call your attention to the Word of God at this time and ask for an interest in your prayers. I'm going to read some scripture, Lord willing, from the 119th Psalm, if you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me. Turn to this 119th Psalm. This is a very lengthy psalm. The 119th Psalm contains 176 verses. And within this 119th Psalm, the psalmist expressed his love for the things of the Lord. And I want to read some of those verses from two different places in this psalm. First, I'll call your attention to the 33rd verse, Psalm 119, verse 33. The psalmist here makes a request of the Lord. He said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." And then with the 97th verse, beginning with the 97th verse, I'd like to read a few more verses. Psalmist here expresses his love for something, his love for God's word. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I'll conclude my reading there with those two places from the 119th Psalm. You know, there is a there's mention of, in the first place where I read from, there was mention in the 34th verse, when the request was made to God for understanding, when the psalmist said, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And you know, we believe and we testify of this oftentimes when we tell our experience, when we share our experience of salvation, such as Brother Lowe has here this morning, and we hear this preached, we hear this made mention of oftentimes in sermons. We believe that those of us that are saved, we believe that in order to be saved, that we had to seek the Lord with our whole heart, don't we? We believe that in order for us to be able to be saved, we had to trust Him with our whole heart. And you know, after that we have been saved, if we're going to serve God effectively, if we're going to serve the Lord in a way that He will be satisfied, we are going to have to serve Him in that way as well. We're going to have to serve Him with our whole heart. And God really won't accept anything but that. You know, for anybody that comes to the Lord, if they, have a little bit of desire to be saved, but they don't really want to give everything up, then they're not going to be saved, are they? And anybody that wants to serve the Lord, if we want to serve Him maybe a little bit, if we want to serve Him when it might be convenient for us to serve Him, but when we have other things to do, then we're not interested. God's not going to accept that type of service, is He? God is a jealous God, the Bible teaches us, and He must be first in all things in order for Him to be pleased with our lives. And so what the psalmist made mention of here, that he would observe the things of the Lord with his whole heart. And I want to talk about today about loving the Lord, about loving His work, about loving His word, about loving the things of the Lord. And, if you look back, and I want to share just a little bit of American history here very briefly, American Baptist history. But if you look back in the and read after the historians that wrote about the history of the Lord's church here in the early years of America, if you read after men like Robert Semple, and if you read after men like Spencer, who wrote the history of the Kentucky Baptist, and Paschal, who wrote about the North Carolina Baptist, if you read the writings of these men and what was happening with the Lord's church, what was happening with our Baptist forefathers in the early years of this nation, you will find out that they had, that people had a great interest in the things of the Lord. They had a great interest in the Word of God. And that is proven by things that have been documented. That's proven by these historians recording the history of a time in the late 1700s and into the early and the middle 1800s in this nation, when that there were people that were willing with primitive means of travel, either riding a horse or maybe taking a wagon, without good roads to travel. It was a hardship for those people to travel. They didn't have what we have access to today. They couldn't go 50 to 100 miles then the way that we can go now. It was a big undertaking to travel that type of distance. But these historians recorded times when people of that era were so interested in the Word of God that they would do that, that they would take off on a horse or they would load the family up in a wagon and they would travel sometimes 100 miles to be at a camp meeting, to be where they could hear the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something that I believe. I believe that we're just not living now in that type of day. We just don't seem to have the type of interest in the Word of God that people had in those days. And we should have. We should have. I mean, that's something that we should have never, ever lost. In fact, it's so much easier for us today. We have to make so much less sacrifice and so much less planning to be able to go somewhere and to hear the Word of God. Those historians spoke about times when there would be hundreds of people who would camp on the ground so that they could be there the next day for the camp meetings, so that they could be there the next day to hear the Word of God. I mean, they went through some rough things and made some sacrifices in order to be present, because they had a great desire for the Word of God. And as I said, it just doesn't seem like we live in that type of day. We don't seem to be experiencing an ever-increasing interest in the Word of the Lord. What we seem to be experiencing is an ever-declining interest in the Word of the Lord and in the things of the Lord, things concerning the work of the Lord. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. When those things happen, they happen by choice. By choice. You know, we find in the Scriptures, we find examples, just as we find in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, when Joshua just challenged the people to choose who they wanted to serve. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether you want to serve the gods on the other side of the flood, or whether you want to serve the true and the living God. Choose who you want to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the things that we do, you know, sometimes people want to fail in discharging their duty to the Lord and blame it on all sorts of things, blame it on other people. But listen, the choice is ours to be made. And we stand responsible. You know what? It doesn't matter what you do or you do. I stand responsible to God for what I do. For what I do. God has called me into the ministry, and woe unto me if I don't preach the Word of God. Woe unto me if I don't do the work that the Lord has called me to do. I will not be able to stand before God one day and give an account unto Him and blame it on anybody but myself. I will stand responsible to the Lord for my life. You know, Jesus said that there's something that no man can do. No man. But I'm afraid that there are many today who are trying to do what the Lord said that no man could do. And this is what He said. He said, no man can serve two masters. Nobody, not one person, Jesus said, not one person can serve two masters. Here's what will happen. He will either hate one or he will leave one and cling to the other. He'll hate one or love the other, but he will not be able to do both. You know what? It is an impossibility. I'll take the words of Jesus. I'll take what Jesus said. It is an impossibility to serve God and the world. Nobody can accomplish that. But I'm afraid that there are those that believe that they can. They can have, you know, some of the world, and they can have some of God, but it doesn't work that way. If we're going to serve the Lord, we have to serve Him with our whole heart. We have to give everything over to the Lord. The Apostle Paul made that plain, I believe, when he wrote his epistle to the Romans. In Romans chapter 12, in the first two verses, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't live in two worlds. You can't serve the world and serve God. Can't do it. Jesus said it cannot be done. And when you observe the lives
of people that attempt that endeavor, when you observe the lives of somebody that's trying to serve two masters, it's not going to be long until you're going to find out that they will indeed leave one of them behind. A child of God, listen, mark my word on this. Take God's word on this. A child of God that tries to serve two masters, a child of God that tries to serve the things of God and the things of the devil at the same time, it won't be long until they'll either repent before God for their lack of dedication to Him and get their lives straight, or else they'll be gone out into the world and leave the things of the Lord behind. That's what you'll see. It'll turn out just exactly the way that Jesus said it does. They'll cling to one and they'll let go of the other. We have, I believe there are those that want to serve the Lord without sacrifice. And that's never been accomplished. It's never been accomplished. If you want to live for the Lord, then there are things that you must leave behind. Satan will tempt us, and he will do all that he can to distract God's people from serving the Lord, for giving ourselves wholly to the Lord. He will put everything in the world in front of us to try to distract us, and we must make the choice. We must make the choice. It's up to us who that we will serve. How does God's word affect you? I want you to ask yourself that question. How effective is God's word in your life? Do you love God's word? You know, listen, what I hold in my hand right here before you today is by far the greatest book that's ever been written. It's never known its equal, and it never will. It's been a bestseller for many, many years, and it has been given to us from God. I hold before you a book today that the Bible teaches me that the Holy Spirit of God is the author. The Apostle Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the Apostle Paul, in his final words to the young preacher Timothy, he wrote to him just before he was martyred, and he exhorted him and admonished him to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, I believe, folks, that we are living in a day. I'm not trying to present doom and gloom before you today. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I believe that there are that we live in a time today when there are children of God even that will hear the word of God. They will hear the instruction of the man of God as he preaches God's word to them. And when the word of God reproves them, they'll say, well, I don't have to put up with that. I don't have to listen to that. I'll just go on and do what I want to do. Well, you know what? They can do that.
They can choose to do that. Sure enough, any of us, we can choose to do that with God's word. But I guarantee you, you're going to answer to the Supreme Judge for it. We're going to give an account one day to God for what we have done with his word. You believe that? If you don't believe that, go read the 20th chapter of Revelation and read what was said about the day of God's great white throne judgment. Oh, when the books are opened and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And those books that he was talking about was the books of the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God. We will be judged according to God's word and how we have believed it and what we have done with it. And it will be the standard. God's word will be the standard by which his people. God's word will be the standard by which all people are judged one day. Is this how God's word affects your life? Now, you don't have to tell me. You just ask yourself this question. Is this how God's word affects you? Are you like the psalmist here? When he expressed such a love for God's word that it was his meditation all day long? Is God's word sweet to you? The psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is it a lamp to your feet? Is it a light to your path? Is God's word what you are using and allowing to guide you? You know, we're living in some dark times, folks. We're living in some dangerous times. Listen, we are living in times when there are people that don't want the word of God preached at all. Are we going to allow his word to guide us through this? Is it going to be God's word? It's going to be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. I'll tell you what. Listen, if you allow the word of God to be your guide, if you allow God's word to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, I believe that you'll have a successful journey through life. If you don't, if you leave God behind, if you leave his word behind, if you do what Solomon told us not to do when he, in the third proverb, when he said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If we let God's Holy Spirit and God's holy word be a guide to us, I believe that we'll have a successful journey. But listen, if we don't, we're going to find ourselves off the path. You know, this is all that God gave us. That's it. Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. This is all that God gave us. This is the only rule book that he gave us. And you know, I appreciate men. I appreciate men that have written extra-biblical help, extra-biblical aids. I appreciate, I've read it many times. I appreciate J.M. Pendleton's Baptist Church Manual. I appreciate his book on Christian doctrines. I appreciate those that have written things to try to be a help to us. But I'm persuaded if there had never been any other person that would have ever written down anything, that the Lord gave a church all that she needs to function and to function properly and to stay on the right path when he gave us his word. That's all we need. I don't believe the Lord left us deficient in anything. What will we do with it? What type of person will you choose to be? And I'm going to give you two different scenarios. Will you be the person that hears God's word and walks away and just forgets all about it? Or will you be the person that hears God's word and takes it with you and applies it to your daily life? Which one will you choose to do? Now, James spoke about that when he wrote in his epistle about only being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. James said those that hear the word and don't do the word are like a person that beholds their natural face in a glass. He's talking about a reflection. He's talking about looking in the mirror. A person that only hears the word of God is like a person that just looks in the mirror and sees his reflection and walks away and forgets what it was that he even saw. But a person that not only hears the word of God, but also does the word of God and applies the word of God to their life will not be that type of person. Is God's word more interesting to you? I may ask you some things here that you won't like, but is God's word more important to you than the things that entertain your flesh? How much time do you spend with it? You know, I really believe that how much a person loves something or somebody, or how much a person loves anything, an object or a person or anything, can be determined by how much of a desire that they have to spend time with that person or with that object. If it's the Word of God, I think if you truly love the Word of God, then you'll have a desire in your heart to spend time with the Word of God. It'll be more important to you. You'll consider that time more important than spending time entertaining yourself with needless things, that things of vanity that don't end up doing a thing in the world for your soul. Boy, you all are quiet today. That's all right. I'm going to preach the truth. How much time do you invest in the Word of God? That ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us something. I appreciate Brother Lowe's testimony today about having seen something in the Word of God that he found to be intriguing and exciting. And you know, that ought to be something that happens to us on a continual basis. We ought to be in God's Word, and we ought to be trying to discover the wonderful things that he has written in here. Yes, God does know the name of every star that he created, and everything that he set in the universe. You know, the scientists tell us that they know how far away from the earth the sun is, that they know how far away from the earth different planets are. Well, I don't know if they've got it right or not, but I'll tell you what, God knows. God knows exactly how far the sun is from the earth. He was the one that put it there. You know, we don't often seem to be very patient with God's word. I'm not trying to be funny here, folks, but I would venture to say that if I preached today for an hour and a half, that there'd be a lot of people that would just think that's too long. That's too long! That's too long for the pastor to preach. That's too long for us to sit and listen to God's word. But I guarantee you that we would go and sit on our couch at home and we would watch our favorite team play their sport, even if it went into overtime, even if the time was extended, we would sit there and we would cheer them on and we would be so excited, and we wouldn't think if it lasted 2.5 hours, we wouldn't think it was too long, would we? But we would concerning God's word. That's too long. Nobody should be preaching that long. I can read to you. You can read it for yourself. You look in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, and it'll tell you about a time when the children of Israel gathered themselves together before Ezra the scribe, and he got up on a pulpit of wood that was made for that purpose, and he began to read to them from the book of the law in the morning, and he read from that until well up into the afternoon, and those people stood there for about 6 hours listening to him read the word of God, and the Bible tells us that they were excited and they were saying amen, and they listened to that for hours. Do we have that type of love for God's word that we would spend hours, that we would just give ourselves over to it for hours? Now, we're not very patient with it. We love about a 30-minute sermon. We love a short sermon. I'm glad God gave us his word. There have been many times, sometimes in the middle of the night, when I've seen something in here that would just bless my soul, cause me to rejoice in the things that God, I mean, folks, we have God's word. We have his word. I'm concerned about the Lord's churches, because I believe that we're experiencing an ever-increasing lack of interest in the things of God. I went to an ordination a couple weeks ago. Brother Moran was chosen by the presbytery to preach. When he got up, he expressed his concern about the growing lack of interest among our churches when men are being ordained. You go and you hear the ordination start, and you hear church after church after church after church, the name of church after church read, of those who have been invited to send their ordained brethren to assist this sister church in an ordination, and church after church after church name is read, and nobody answers the roll. Nobody came. You may not think that's cause for concern, but I do. I believe that we are seeing a lack of interest in the things of the Lord. And we need to pray about that. And we need to get it back. We need to pray God would help us. We're too caught up in things that entertain the flesh. may not like that statement, but I'm not going to take it back. We are too caught up in the things that entertain our flesh, and we have too little concern as a whole in the things of the Lord. And, you know, we need to pray about that. Anybody have anything on your heart today?